Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for December 21st, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Climate models are known to be sensitive to increase in fresh water discharge to the ocean.
I think people are finally realizing that Nibiru is a no-show. There is no giant planet headed for the Earth.
Bivalves such as scallops are excellent indicators of the state of an environment.
This week, how scientists are using weather forecasting techniques to predict flu outbreaks, what a scallop's cough says about its environment, how melting Arctic ice may have caused the Earth's last big freeze, and why climate change may have undone the Maya Empire. But first, in case you're wondering why the world didn't end today, we'll replay a podcast from 2009 that debunks the myth.
There's been a lot of hype lately about a so-called doomsday planet that some people think will collide with the Earth in December of 2012, destroying life as we know it. Here at Science Update, we thought it was about time we got out our baloney detectors to investigate. Yeah, enough from the peanut gallery over there.
Hey, those were high-priced Hollywood special effects.
The putative planet is called Nibiru, and it's supposedly the size of Jupiter. I asked space scientist David Morrison of the NASA Ames Research Center in California if such a planet even exists, and he says that Nibiru is just a complete fiction.
If there were a giant planet out there in the outer part of the solar system and headed now for the inner part in Earth, it would have been picked up over the last 30 years by any number of infrared surveys. There are probably 100,000 amateur astronomers out there with telescopes. They'd all have been seeing it and following it for the last few years. And by now, it'd be bright enough to be seen in the sky with the naked eye. Well, it isn't there. No one has ever seen it. And I think people are finally realizing that Nibiru is a no-show. There is no giant planet headed for the Earth.
While Nibiru is a complete fabrication, Morrison says the hype surrounding the imaginary killer planet is far from harmless.
Many people really are scared. I have had teenagers who say they don't want their life to end. Some have said, if the world's going to be destroyed, I'm going to take my own life first. I have had a woman write me the other day saying that she had a younger sister who was so upset about this, she hadn't been able to sleep for a month. They'd taken her to doctors and so forth. She was losing weight. She couldn't eat, all over being scared of this fictional event. And I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong for people to manufacture a fictional event that scares children.
Morrison says that much of this fear is being spread on the internet.
The internet is a wonderful thing. It is full of good information. It also has a lot of misinformation and disinformation.
Morrison reminds us to surf with a critical eye for detail and pay attention to the quality of the evidence presented and the kind of persuasive language that's used. And there's a great book out there if you haven't read it. It's Carl Sagan's Demon-Haunted World, and it includes a whole section on baloney detection. And if your favorite science myth needs a reality check, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT.
Thanks, Suzanne. Today, we have tools that tell us climate change is happening and can make predictions about how it will affect us. Not so the ancient Maya. For centuries, the Maya Empire flourished in present-day Central America, but rapidly began to decline around 900 AD. A new report in the journal Science supports the hypothesis that climate change helped do in the great Maya cities. Penn State University environmental anthropologist Doug Kennett and his team studied cone-shaped mineral deposits called stalagmites in a cave in Belize.
And you can obtain a climate record from them by using oxygen isotopes, which basically reflect the amount of rainfall at any given time.
From the stalagmites, Kennett's team correlated the rise and fall of the Maya Empire with centuries of ample rainfall followed by a long dry spell. Kennett argues that the drought-related crop failures may have fueled the warfare and political instability that marked the empire's collapse. Nowadays, when you check the weather forecast, you can also check the forecast for smog, pollen, and ultraviolet radiation. Now, according to correspondent Justin Warner, you may soon be able to check for warnings about imminent flu outbreaks.
Soon, you may be able to check a flu forecast along with the weather report. This according to environmental health scientist Jeffrey Shaman of Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health. His team used data from Google Flu Trends, a tracker of flu-related web searches that surprisingly well correlated with reports of actual cases from the Centers for Disease Control.
The CDC only publishes these things at regional levels, but Google is able to do it using search queries down to the municipal scale.
By combining weather forecasting techniques and models of flu transmission, his team was able to predict the course of an outbreak.
So the specific details of the where and when it's going to peak, how many cases there may be, what's the duration of the outbreak going to be, and what are the total number of cases going to be. Those are the types of metrics that we can potentially predict with this system.
They tested it on flu patterns from 2003 to 2008. Shaman says the forecast could be used not only to warn the public, but also to alert medical authorities for a potential flood of patients. Of course, it's possible that if the forecasts are effective, people might take enough preventive measures to make an outbreak turn out to be less severe than predicted.
If that is an eventuality, that's going to be a very pleasant obstacle for us to overcome.
Thanks, Justin. Melting Arctic ice may have caused the Earth's last big freeze. This according to University of Massachusetts geoscientist Alan Condren and University of Alaska marine scientist Peter Windsor. Condren says the start of the Younger Dryas, a 1,200-year-long cold period, has been attributed to meltwater that flooded the Atlantic. The question was, where did it happen?
Our model study is one of the first to show, actually, that you have to discharge meltwater into the Arctic first to trigger this event.
That influx of cold, fresh water would have disrupted seawater circulation, which in turn dramatically changed the climate. Today, Arctic ice is again melting to record lows. Condren says that because other conditions are different now, it's unlikely to trigger a freeze, but that scientists are right to expect some kind of major consequence. Next, Suzanne learned what the cough of a scallop can tell us about the health of ecosystems.
To assess the health of marine environments, scientists are listening to coughing scallops. According to physiological ecologist Anthony Robson of the European University Institute of Ocean Sciences in France, the animals produce distinctive sounds when they expel water and waste from their valves. Using underwater microphones and movement sensors, he and his colleagues can estimate how often the scallops are active, a measure of water quality.
Bivalves such as scallops are excellent indicators of the state of an environment. Scallops are very sensitive animals. They're sensitive to pollution, vibrations, shadows, man-made disturbance. And measuring the sounds they make and the movements they make in 3D, we can detect how stressed they are in their environment.
He says monitoring scallop sounds and movements could also benefit commercial aquaculture by alerting growers when the animals are stressed.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll tell you about new inventions that could brighten your day, fix your engine, or even save your life. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. That's 1-800-949-4748. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.